Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. During the fall election season, we'll be doing a few projects that could use your help and investigative chops. If you want to be a part of the action on our Election 2010 crowdsourcing team, just go to our show page and give us your email address, and we'll be back in touch soon with more information. Democrats, Republicans, independents, anyone else, welcome to join. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. And as we talk politics at this time every day, from now through at least the New York primary on September 14th, now we will meet the two candidates running in the Republican primary for the nomination to challenge Senator Chuck Schumer. They are former CIA agent Gary Bernson and businessman and political consultant Jay Townsend. We'll do about 8 minutes each, as we did that yesterday with the Republicans hoping to run against Senator Gillibrand. Gary Bernson first. Thank you so much for coming on, Mr. Bernson. Welcome to WNYC.
Pleasure being with you, Brian.
What did you do in the CIA?
I was an operations officer. I was interviewed by you, and I wrote the bestseller Jawbreaker several years back.
I remember.
I'm the guy that ran the invasion of Afghanistan and eastern Afghanistan. I was a career member of the clandestine service, a CIA station chief on three different occasions, and the chief of Hezbollah operations for a number of years in that organization.
How would you define victory in the Afghanistan war, given your experience?
What we're going to have to do there is it's establishment of basic security for the Afghans and the ability for them to control and define their own destiny in terms of security, to be able to defend themselves. We're not going to establish Jeffersonian democracy in Afghanistan. We need to get the Afghans to pick up the slack in this. They've got, the war is now 107 months. It's the longest war in American history by 3 months. And if we do not press the Afghans into taking the lead on this, that, they'll let us fight for them forever.
Is Petraeus on the right track with his counterinsurgency strategies?
I think he is, but, I would be shifting to a different sort of strategy, what I like to call the Freedom Corps. We have ISAF model, which is U.S. forces, and it costs us $1 million a year per soldier on one hand. And on the other hand, we have the Afghan model, which is $135 a month for each of their soldiers. They can't afford that. I think we need a new force there that sort of resembles the British Gurkhas, where we would have American, British, Canadian, and Australian officers leading a force, and every single man that fights as an Afghan gets paid $750 a month. And as we stand that force up, I would start taking the American brigades off that battlefield.
And that might be good for the Afghan people if it works. Is it relevant to actually keeping us safe from terrorism, which is why we're there?
Partially, yes. And the other part of it is the whole Afghan PAC problem. And I really do like Richard Holbrooke, who is the president's man out there that's handling the region, because you need to look at this as a Afghan PAC problem. We've got 90 nuclear weapons in Pakistan, and I don't believe a terrorist organization is going to build a nuclear device, but if you had the collapse of the Pakistani state, you could have a device falling into the hands of people that would use them for a bad reason.
In the New York One debate the other night, also heard live here on WNYC, you said, quote, "I oppose construction of that mosque. I oppose construction of that mosque because I've spent 20 years fighting Islamic fundamentalists and terrorists. I know what they do," unquote. Were you charging that Imam Rauf, who has this long history as a moderate, is a fundamentalist or a terrorist?
Well, what I was saying is that they like to target certain mosques, like they targeted the Hamburg Mosque, which was just closed. That mosque was used for the Iranian Revolution and used for the planning for 9/11 and was just closed down about a week ago. That a mosque at footsteps away from Ground Zero will be a magnet for militants. Even if the current imam who is planning to build this thing isn't involved with extremists, I can tell you they will be drawn in there. It'll be like a magnet for them. They'll get in there. They'll fight to take control of that mosque. You can count on it.
So, but don't we have to be able to distinguish between a Muslim American who may criticize U.S. foreign policy and a terrorist?
Well, yeah, I think we do. And I have, many, many close associates that I've worked with for years that have fought for the U.S. Constitution who are Muslim Americans. They're heroes. But, I think that it is insensitive to put it there. I think it'll be a draw for militants. There's a lot of problems with that. And also you have to look at the funding for this. There have been, I think that the Obama administration and Senator Schumer have failed to look into some of the individuals that have been involved in this. There's a former Iranian ambassador, Mahalati, his younger brother, Hussein Mahalati, who have been involved with the imam. And this was a man that was investigated for WMD trafficking. There hasn't been enough done by the U.S. government to look at those that are have been, you know, involved in this project.
There is no funding for this project, as I understand it. They're about to launch a capital campaign once it's all finalized, correct?
There have been individuals that are involved with the Imam who have been involved with the Iranian regime. There are others that are tied to the Arab League. This thing looks like a foreign, you know, it looks like a Trojan horse being dropped right down there in the center at Ground Zero. I do not dispute the legal ability of this group to put a mosque in any place in the United States, but I also reserve my First Amendment rights to speak out and to state that I believe that this is going to present a long-term security risk for us.
But do you dispute Imam Raouf's earnestness as a bridge builder? When you say a Trojan horse, it seems to dismiss a long record that he's built up working for the Bush administration and many others.
I've seen some of his statements, and his statements don't look like bridge building. They just don't. This is a man that will not refute Hamas, will not call them a terrorist organization.
He says they staged terrorist attacks. Yeah. He doesn't want to get into labeling organizations.
Yeah, well, he should label organizations. I disagree with him completely on that, given the fact that Hamas did over 323 human bombings in Israel during the 1990s.
And if he condemns every one of those bombings, that's not good enough?
Well, I think if you condemn those bombings and their organizations and the fact that these people commit bloody murder, I might be more apt to be you know, more forgiving in my assessment of him. But I don't believe he's a bridge builder, and I believe that he's been incredibly evasive. I've watched him in several interviews, and he could have just, you know, laid this thing out more clearly. He is, you know, he's bobbing and weaving constantly, and he won't be pinned down on these things. And I, therefore, am you know, unable to support him and his project.
In the broadest possible terms, why do you want to run against Chuck Schumer?
Because I think Senator Schumer is wrong on so many of the issues that face New Yorkers. He's wrong on taxes. He's wrong on spending. He's wrong on immigration. He's wrong on health care. I think that Senator Schumer is in for a rude awakening. New Yorkers across the state are very, very unhappy with his failure to represent their interests. I will represent their interests, and I believe he will be defeated in November.
Is there a first bill you'd like to introduce if you're elected?
Yeah, first bill will be a double wide fence across the entire border with Mexico.
You know,
we'll secure that border. That's the first thing we have to do. Mm-hmm. The federal government has as a responsibility to provide for the collective defense. It has failed to do so. The fact that the U.S. government has entered into a lawsuit aided by the government of Mexico against a U.S. state is disgraceful.
Defense from what? People coming to work at low wages?
Brian, there are 6 to 7 narco-trafficking cartels on that border that accumulate $10 billion a year. 23,000 people have been killed along that border during the last 2 years. These organizations shoot, move, and communicate all independently at a level more dangerous than Al-Qaeda. Yet the U.S. government has failed to secure that border. These are very, very dangerous people down there. I'm not securing it from the Mexican government. The Mexicans are an important, you know, ally of the U.S. But the reality is you have the worst, most violent, vicious group of people on the planet operating along that border, and we have not secured it to defend ourselves from them and from also the illegal immigrants that are crossing that border in large numbers.
Is that narco-trafficking almost all marijuana?
No, it's a lot of cocaine, large quantities of cocaine. Look, in the old days, you know, you had the Colombians moving, were the big movers on cocaine, and the Mexicans operated organizations that did the transport for them. As we destroyed those Colombian organizations and defanged many of them, the Mexicans moved out of transport into actual, you know, growing, you know, processing and moving themselves.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is quoted on Politico today saying without illegal immigrants, we'd be paying 3, 4, 5 times as much for food, or we'd have to import a lot more food with all the food security risks. That's a quote. Have any reaction to that?
My reaction is we need a viable guest worker program in the United States, a robust one. I do not have the problem with people coming in to do that sort of work, agricultural work that may be from other countries, but we control, we decide how many come, and we provide a viable system of work where people pay tax on what they're doing, and they can return to their countries, and they come back and forth. Not a problem. But it's got to be legally done. We control it. They don't decide on their own that they're going to cross the border. Brian, look, we have the most generous immigration system in the world. We allow 1.2 million people per year to immigrate. We should not be ashamed of that fact. And just because 15 to 20 million people have decided to enter illegally, that doesn't mean that I should be embarrassed about the fact that I want the laws of the United States enforced.
Last thing, in about 30 seconds, political question. Mr. Townsend, your opponent who's about to come on, has the Conservative Party nomination. The rap is no Republican has won a New York statewide race without the Conservative Party nomination since Jerry Ford. Does that make him the better bet for Republicans voting in a primary to defeat Chuck Schumer?
Not at all. I am on a newly created line called the Taxpayer Line, and the Tea Party is behind me and behind that line. That is the new conservative movement in New York, and we will poll at a much, much higher level than the Conservative Party.
Will you run actively on that line if you don't get the Republican nomination?
I will not. If I do not get the Republican nomination, I will support Mr. Townsend, and I would ask that when I defeat him, that he abandon the conservative line and support me.
Gary Bernson, thank you so very much.
It's a pleasure, sir.
And now that other Republican in the New York primary, hoping to run against Senator Chuck Schumer, businessman and political consultant, Jay Townsend. Mr. Townsend, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. Gary Bernson just called himself the Tea Party candidate. What does that mean to you? Why are you laughing?
Oh, I don't know where he gets that sort of thing. You know, I've probably spoken to 15, maybe 20 Tea Party Patriot group so far. None that I have spoken to have endorsed my opponent. So I'm not sure I know where he's getting this. In fact, not long ago, I received the unanimous support of one out in Monroe County.
He characterizes the taxpayers' party line as a Tea Party line and one that will have more power in electoral terms in November than the Conservative Party line has had in the past, which, and you have that endorsement. What do you want to react to?
The bottom line here is that I have the conservative line, and as you correctly stated, no Republican has won a statewide election since Jerry Ford was president without the conservative line. And I would argue if we're serious about defeating Chuck Schumer, the Republican Party would be wise to nominate the only candidate who has a real shot of being able to do that, and that's the candidate with the Conservative Party line.
Do you see yourself as more conservative than Gary Bernson? Are you interested in that label?
We both sought the Conservative Party nomination. We were both nominated. I won 70% of the vote on the first ballot. I think Gary got 11 or 12%. You be the judge of which candidate is the true conservative in this race.
Any positions you would compare to his, or are you pretty much the same?
There is one place where, so far, I do beg to differ with Gary. I think some of this language he has used about Muslims is a bit incendiary. I, too, oppose the mosque at Ground Zero. But I am not willing and I'm not going to call every mosque in the United States a terrorist training ground. I think that's a little bit over the top. I think there are peace-loving Muslims in the United States. So I have suggested to the imam that if he's interested in reconciliation and peace and a dialogue, that it might behoove him to put that mosque elsewhere. And I noted a couple of days ago that even Speaker Shelley Silver has the same position. The other place where I think he and I would differ is not long ago on a Fox News segment, he suggested that all the prisoners at Gitmo, even those who had not been charged by a military tribunal, be taken out and executed. And to me, that's not America.
They
deserve to be charged.
Ron Paul said this week that conservatives are blowing their principles on the mosque issue. He said, basically, this is not a quote, I'm paraphrasing, but basically he said, you should be defending private property rights rather than trying to twist this into some kind of terrorist victory shrine, which it's not.
This is not an issue about private property rights, and it's not a debate about religion. It's a debate about taste. For the same reason that I think a lot of people would find it offensive if somebody suggested citing the German embassy next to the Holocaust Museum in Washington. I have suggested to the imam that this is offensive to a lot of people. It's still a sensitive topic in the United States. because of the families of the victims. And, yeah, there's some raw feelings left. And it's, like I say, it's not a debate about property rights. It's a matter of taste. I just suggest put it elsewhere.
You're not making the Nazi comparison that Newt Gingrich did, like building a Nazi facility near Auschwitz. You're saying even the German embassy with today's German government near the Holocaust Museum, that's your analogy.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people would find that offensive, and they would say, in the matter of taste, go put that elsewhere. And I don't write Newt's speeches for him. So,
on the broadest possible basis, why do you want to run against Chuck Schumer?
Look, let's take a look at the Schumer record and what's gone on during his tenure here. We have 1 million New Yorkers now out of work, can't find work. We have the highest property tax burden in the country, 80% above the national average. We get 80 cents back from the federal government for every dollar we send there. We're sending, per year, $25 billion more to Washington than we get back. Our money is being used to build bridges in Mississippi and schools in Arizona and highways in Arkansas. 1.5 million people have left the state of New York in the last 10 years. We've lost tens of thousands of manufacturing jobs and small businesses. That $1 trillion pork-laden stimulus bill that we were told would keep unemployment below 7.5% turned out to be a fraud and a farce. This is the record of the man who calls himself the most powerful Democrat in the United States Senate. And here's a good example of what I find wrong with the man. The health care bill that was passed on Christmas Eve, you know, Ben Nelson got his Cornhusker kickback and Mary Landrieu got her $300 million and Chris Dodd got $100 million for a health care facility in Connecticut. New York got a $1 billion bill in the form of $1 billion in new unfunded mandates. And it was no wonder that Mayor Bloomberg and Governor Patterson called Senator Schumer the next day and said, "What are you thinking? This is on top of a $10 billion budget deficit that we have. That'll end up in everybody's property tax bills." And the question is, why would Senator Schumer do that to his own state? And the answer is pretty simple. He's trying to get votes so when he runs for majority leader, because Harry Reid is going to be defeated. And what he's doing is giving away the store and selling out the interest of New York to climb the leadership ladder in the Senate.
And I'm sure
that's not what a senator is supposed to do.
I'm sure he's got other versions of those things. And if you get the nomination, you and he will have a spirited exchange on those interpretations.
We will have a very spirited exchange, yes, if he's willing to debate me.
But if you're elected to the Senate, are you then promising to bring home the bacon for New York more effectively than Chuck Schumer and more New York-centrically than Chuck Schumer? Or do you reject that whole enterprise as pork and earmarks?
This is what I would do. In the interest of New York, I would say, right now, let's leave the money at home. Therefore, I'm not going to vote to raise income taxes, because we're already bleeding capital dry in the state of New York, and it's not in our interest to send even more money to Washington than we never get back. So what I would do is extend the tax cuts of 2001 and 2003 for at least 5 years, not only to benefit New York, but secondly, I think it's dangerous and silly, as does Mayor Bloomberg, to raise taxes when we're now in a double-dip recession. The second thing I would do is repeal the health care bill. I have not talked to a single business person yet who understands what this health care bill is going to cost, except they have figured this out. We were told that insurance premiums would go down. Everybody now sees that they're skyrocketing. And the proof of that now is that even the president and Democratic leaders in Congress are telling Democrats, don't talk about the health care bill anymore. Just say we're going to have to fix it some more.
Provisions haven't gone into effect yet, so the insurance companies don't have the incentives yet. There aren't all these new customers expanding the market, et cetera.
Oh, this is what has happened. Yes, the provisions are in effect, and we're about to be walloped. And people who would like to expand their businesses can't, because they know that insurance premiums are skyrocketing. This is not what we were promised. The third thing I would do is go to Albany and say to the state legislature, it's high time you put a cap on property taxes in New York and gave local governments some relief from these unfunded mandates, because the property taxes are draining upstate New York of the manufacturing sector and driving homeowners, property property owners and small businesses out of New York.
And that is where we have to leave it. Republican senatorial hopeful Jay Townsend running in the primary on September 14th against Gary Burnson, who we just heard from before him. The winner will take on Chuck Schumer in the fall. Mr. Townsend, thank you so very much.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And if you want to ask congressional candidates a question directly, in fact, influence all the questions that that all congressional candidates get asked, WNYC is partnering with the Personal Democracy Forum in a 10 questions project. Now, you can submit questions through text or video for the candidates in this fall's midterm congressional elections nationwide. You can also vote on questions that other people have entered. The top 10 questions will be submitted to the candidates, many of whom have already pledged to answer and post their video responses. It's easy to do, and we think it's a step forward in peer-to-peer democracy. So check out the 10 questions feature on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And coming up in just a minute, we'll wrap up today's show with a call-in on the question, how do you unplug your brain? And some studies that show how important it is.